Good morning. You may have actually kind of already heard a lot about what's happening in the state of Florida, and this really does mirror a lot of what has been happening up in Lake County. Just to give you a little bit of background information as far as who we are the northeastern corner of the state of Illinois, so we are approximately 30 miles between both the city of Chicago and the city of Milwaukee. So we kind of face a situation where we have two epicenters of disease that feed into our population. We are also a relatively small community, if you will, about 700,000 residents, medium household income of about 80,000, but we have a significant portion of our population that live in poverty. When I joined the health department about 6 years ago, I walked into a situation where we had multiple data sources going on and we had a system that was very siloed. I'm sure many of you find the same thing in where you're working or some of the different organizations you've worked with. We had, at the time, five different divisions. Of course, we had environmental health, we had behavioral health, primary care services, a community health section, and then an administration section. We just, as of this past Monday, merged our environmental health and community health and made a population health services, so it even helps reduce some of the silos that we have, but it was still something we had to deal with. Our total staff population was about 1,200 people at the time. So we had a lot of people that were collecting information about our patients. We had it being put into a lot of different areas. We had a lot of services going on, and there was not communication going on about this particular patient. So what we saw is we had so many different clinics that were happening. Patients could be seen at any different point. We had different areas where they were collecting the information through our EPI unit. We had DAS, our Division of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Centers, that we were using. We had the state of Illinois HIV-AIDS sections that we had to report to. We also are a recipient of Ryan White Part A, Part B funding. We had grantees wanting our information. And as a local county health department, we also had surveillance issues that we had to address. All of the information we were collecting had to go somewhere. We needed to make sure that the people that were providing the money for the work we were doing also had the information to support why they were giving us the money. So all of the information we were collecting needed to go back out. It was not easy to do. I'm sure many of you have had the same situation, if not still facing that same situation, trying to figure out, how do I collect the information, how do I get a global picture of my patient, and how do I report this back to my funders to show them the work I'm doing? We were no different. What we were actually able to do is look at what we had going on. Most of the information we were collecting was being found in access databases that were unsecured, they were held on a network drive, basically anyone could have access to them, and it contained private health information. We had Excel spreadsheets open to the public as far as our network. We had Word documents that contained medical information. We had paper medical records. We had morbidity reports. All of these were individual, and the person that controlled them at the time held that information. The person who sat next to them didn't know that information existed here. So we were still siloed even within the programs themselves. The piece that we were missing is we didn't have reference points. We didn't know that patient A was also patient B over here. We didn't see that, and we were missing a lot of opportunities. We didn't have relationships working within our own health department, within our own programs, or with the person sitting next to us. But yet we had mandates that we had to fulfill, and we had to make sure the information got back to where it needed to go. What we really found, our patient care was less than optimal. We were not doing service to the patients that were in front of us. Our co-infection and comorbidities were not being addressed. We missed opportunities for education. Because a patient was seen for gonorrhea, chlamydia, we didn't have the opportunity to educate them on issues regarding syphilis, HIV, hepatitis, HPV. We saw duplication of services as well. When you had a counselor or a DIS worker that was doing phenomenal work and wanting to give all the information, you then had somebody else on the other side wanting to do exactly the same thing. We saw frustration in our patients. Partner elicitation, partner notification opportunities were being missed. Somebody assumed someone else had done it. What also was kind of interesting at this time is we started to roll out an EPM and an EMR system. Now, we had great aspirations and thought within a year and a half we were going to have a complete system up and running. That was a year and a half ago. We are now entering into phase two of about a 10-phase step process, and it's now looking sometime 2012 will be successful. The problem we found, though, is our EMR, our EPM, did not do what we needed it to do. As a county health jurisdiction, we needed to report on all of the residents, not just the patients we saw in the community health center. So our EMR was great for the patients we saw, but didn't respond to anything we needed to do with the patients seen by private providers, hospitals, or other care settings. What we needed to do was find something because, like we've all heard already this morning, we are facing reductions in our revenue. We are looking at reductions from the state. We are looking at reductions in everything we do, and we're finding a greater portion of the population we serve unable to pay for the services they're receiving. So we had to be at least cost neutral. Ultimately, we wanted to have cost reserve. But we also had to find a way that we had this information that was now going to be secure. As you recall, I said we had access databases, we had Excel spreadsheets, we had Word documents. They're not secure. Our paper medical records were making their rounds around a building, not secure. I was very, very strongly advocating that we had to have HIPAA compliance. We also needed to find something that was going to be user-friendly and easy to navigate. I wanted to be able to extract the data for multiple reporting needs. I didn't want to have to pull reports from four different systems to find what was going to work for one funder, and then have to go back and query those same systems for the next funder. It all had to come from one area. The other piece that was very important to us, now you've already heard this with Florida, is it needed to be adaptable. Not only are our situations going to change as a health department, but our funders' requests for the information we give them are changing. Constantly, we're being asked for more and more information. We're asked to report it in different ways, and we're asked to report it in different time frames. So having a standardized system wasn't going to work for us. We had to be able to be malleable and responsive to all the requests that were made of us. What we were able to do and what we wanted to do through our methodology was implement a single source data system to better serve the residents, but also to be able to maintain a system of surveillance. We were looking at our current data collection methods and assessed them for their similarities, which we found great in many of them. We also looked at the differences in those systems, and we found the areas of overlap. We identified the issues of security and data management. We were looking at outlining our data components that we wanted to make sure we maintained, but also the data components we wanted to keep. Also, we needed to create common templates that were unified throughout the system. We wanted to find a system that was going to be both user-friendly, graphically friendly, but easy to navigate, and was actually something people could associate with. We worked with our county IT team. As you said and you heard already, IT is now the driving force. We became the cart, the horses were in front pulling us forward. We no longer could tell county IT what we needed, they told us what they thought we needed. They actually decided to go out and pilot an SQL database for us. It flopped. We turned them down the day we launched it. We realized the most appropriate people to do this and develop the system were the people who were going to use it themselves. We needed to be the ones to drive. What I'm going to go through real quickly is just a couple of ideas of our front menus and our systems that we have to show you what we've done with the system and how we've made it user-friendly. I'll kind of wrap this up then at the end with some of the findings that we had through all this. We wanted to make it graphically user-friendly. Every time you walk into the system, you're hit with a front menu. Most of you have that same thing, but we adopted the whole aspect of point and click. We didn't want drop-down menus. We didn't want to have to navigate through multiple resources. It's point and click. You go from here into your next set of menus, or you go from here straight into your surveillance system. What this allowed us to do is segregate the information so that those that needed access to everything could have it, those that needed access to bits and pieces could have it, and the rest of the information was secure. When you got beyond that, we always had what we called a home screen. My staff were educated to understand the home screen was a locked model. You could tap, click, point, do everything you want, throw coffee on your keyboard, but you would never damage the data. This was a locked screen, but it was a complete overview of the patient. And it was a quick overview that was available to anyone accessing the patient information at any point in a visit, regardless if it was during clinic, if it was during an HIV appointment, if it was for a vaccine, you name it, that home screen gave an overview of everything you wanted and allowed you direct navigation into the system. So on the top, you see you've got the patient information, you've got a navigation bar, you've got basic demographics, and then you have some areas where you can see what's been happening historically over the patient's lifetime within this organization. The navigation bar became the idea of we have to find an easy way for people to get through this. I'm going to back up one second. One of the things that's very important here is the check marks are not just to identify the next line. They actually allow you to drill into that encounter. So when you start looking at vaccines, if you want to drill into all the vaccines for Hep A or Bs, or you can. If you want to look at that specific HIV test, you can. Same thing with our STD encounters. Everything is chronologically based. Again, going back to that navigation bar, everything came from this. Everything was available to it, and it was maintained throughout the system. That was the one piece we held for consistency. The staff learned very quickly that was going to be their resource of how to get through this system. When you started to have to change data, enter data, you needed to get beyond that home screen. So a patient profile page had to be created. This is where the information became volatile. This is where you could change, update, change, or modify, add new, completely obliterate, whatever you wanted to do, but this became very important because this is where all of that epicenter of information was held. We also had some other information that was used throughout the database, but it was very relevant at the time because we started looking at risk factors, cofactors, and then the follow-up records I'll get to in a second, but it was a way to make sure we had the follow-up with that patient that we needed. This is an actual screen from one of the STD encounters. Because we are a health department collecting surveillance information, we had to also have information about our outside partners. So on the side on the left, you would see where the patient was tested. You could see in the box below where the patient was treated, whether it was at that provider or if they had to come to the health department to be treated. We also, as a health department, work with court orders. The notation sections are very simple. We've also gone through the process of identifying each of our STD visits with a specific code word. It's another layer of protection for the patient. It is not patient specific, it is encounter specific. So if a patient saw us once a month for 10 years, we could have 120 different passwords for that patient. Also, the system was intelligent enough to know whether or not this case was currently open or if it was closed. If it required a morbidity report to be sent, it remained open until that morbidity report was sent. Everything has to be counseled before it will close, but whether or not that morbidity report was also the determining factor of whether this event was going to be open or closed. We can run queries on that. You have a quick overview because you're dealing with STDs. You also have a quick overview of the vaccine situation for this patient. Is it time? Is it appropriate for them to get that next shot in the series? Have they completed the series? Have they started the series? And then, not complete full list of the STDs we screened for, but a very beginning of, you can see where we went with our STD screening process. Whether the patient had been tested, whether we were waiting for the results, whether it was positive, negative. We also could show what they were treated with. We can also show if they were presumptively treated. As many clinicians will do, they will presumptively treat the symptoms that they see in front of them, but when the lab reports come back, they find there's something that they didn't treat for. So we have, again, that overview of what actually happened at the clinic visit, but also then what happens in the future with that patient. Hepatitis, very much the same thing. Quick overview of what was happening with the patient in a global sense, but then each of the lines below, and I apologize, it is a little bit ambiguous. This is not a true patient, it's me, and I give my staff permission to give me almost any disease in the world. But you can see that we look at every time that patient was screened. What was the result? And again, those check marks become so important to us because you drill into that encounter. Where was the patient tested? What happened at that visit? What was the actual test that was done, whether it was a screening, whether it was signal to cut off? We look at that whole thing, and those screens drop behind. HIV testing was also another picture we needed to make sure we captured. Not only were we looking at STIs, we needed to make sure we had HIV screening and HIV education and information available to the patient. This has been built upon what is required from the state. We just really recently learned that the state is also changing their model of collecting information, so this is about to be modified, and that's what makes it so important is we can modify this database. But it collects the basic demographic information, collects the risk factors that we needed to collect, and at the top you see our toolbar and our buttons have changed a little bit. They were modified to replicate what was needed for this page. You could go back to the home screen, you could go back to the patient profile if the profile information had changed, or the print button actually printed the state's forms for us. So my staff weren't having to do a data entry. They weren't having to do writing down, putting the chart, all this information, because the layers of reporting became so tenuous, not within our own health department, but across the entire system. We were trying to make it easier for both the counselor, but make it faster and easier for the patient as well. patient contact, and I had kind of mentioned this a little bit at the profile, this is an important screen for us because not only are we recording what we're doing with that patient when we see them, whether it's through a telephone call, a visit, we see them in a group, we have interaction with them for various reasons, we're also able to set up reminders for ourselves. Not only for ourselves, but for our partners or our peers in who will be working with that patient. And it's a real quick process that we do on that third line in this template. You see follow-up. Is it needed? Is it not needed? Is it pending? When is it? If it's pending, when is it due? And who is going to be responsible for doing it? And this became so important because when you start looking at syphilis screening, you want to do that 90-day first retest. You want to do that 6-month. We have a system that we can set up queues that the staff are able to run these reports on a daily basis, and these queues will sit behind the scenes and be there until the day they're due. They will sit in queue until they are completed. And it gives us the opportunity then to go in and update them, change them, modify them, but run those reports. Back on that patient profile screen, you saw very quickly we had two examples of those queues sitting in place for the patient you saw. One was already completed, one was still pending. My staff have the ability to run these reports. The system also was designed to have utilities because we needed to look at what was also happening with our DASA services. So going back to the idea of trying to be comprehensive, we needed to make sure we included everything that was happening in our substance abuse treatment centers. We needed to make sure we had the patient triggers out there, that if you have a patient here today for something, we know what they were here yesterday for as well. Those triggers became very important. Forms generation, we were trying to reduce the amount of paper burden that our counselors had. We also were able to do letter generation. If we needed to do partner treatment slips, and we're really big on this idea, just preceded the whole idea of EPT, was take this letter to your partner, have them come in, we'll treat them. We didn't have to worry about things. It could be done anonymously. It could be done with consultation of the patient and the partner at the same time, but it generates those because we have a very large bilingual population or even monolingual Spanish-speaking population. We were also able to generate field records for the staff. So if we had to go find the patient, we could do that generation of a report to go find the patient. We had quick reports. We could do accountability reports, medication accountability. We could do client status reports. All of this became very important for us. We also found that even though we were implementing an EMR and EPM system, they weren't functioning for what needed to be done for our Ryan White grantees. So we actually were able to modify the system and bring it home and bring the system available to that group as well. The piece that was most important to me as an administrator was looking at all the record audits. This is where my system becomes HIPAA compliant. I can follow every footstep a client or counselor makes in this database. I can watch every time they hit a record, change a field, or anything. That was invaluable to me. That's what made this system solid for us. The results, what we were able to do is we actually were able to look at completing a whole system of program collaboration and service integration. You've heard that through this entire conference. PIXI is very important as we go forward with reduction in the whole aspect of funding and resources. We've been running since April of 2007 with 11,500 patients identified in our system and have collected over 200,000 data points already. The staff time has been reduced tremendously, but the data collection has increased phenomenally. The ease of reporting for external partners and funders has also been increased. We have comprehensive patient care, at least what I would call comprehensive patient care. We have staff accountability, thoroughness, accuracy, timeliness, the ease of reporting, but most importantly, at a minimal cost. It is very important that we maintain that cost-neutral piece. We were able to remove the silos, we integrated our services, and we found ways to collaborate and share information across sections. The piece that was most important is we found that our users were integral into the success of the system. They were there from the very beginning in developing this system, but we also were able to consider the varied levels of comfort they had within working in a computer environment. We also anticipated and we found that mistakes were going to happen, and they were made. We found that the system was easy to correct them, though. You have to be able to anticipate those. The other piece that was so important to us was explaining why things were happening and how they were happening to staff. If they understood the basics, they could understand the system. The key elements here for complete functionality, all the systems have to be patient-centric. Regardless of what premise you approach this from, it's about the patient. So if you make the system about the patient, you will be able to derive all the information you want. Target the patient, not the funder or the authority. The system of rollout is very easy. It can be modular or it can be system. We did a systemic rollout and have been adding modules all along. As you've heard, the idea with what's happening in Florida is if you find something that's going to work, make it work for the system. You know, append and modify is necessary, which is the modular approach. Take ownership, but don't dictate. And finally, I just want to say thank you, because what we were able to do was find that through the process of working with my staff, working collaboratively with other program areas, we reduced staff time. We found that the ability to increase the number of patients we were serving was tenfold, and what we were doing is effective and efficient. Are there any questions? Are there any questions? Yes. We had found much of the same struggle. We really were trying to negotiate with our state partners to try to find ways for the systems to communicate. I don't know that Illinois is any different than any other jurisdiction. Right now, I know of 5 different systems that are running in the state of Illinois. In trying to report this data to any one of them has been, at best, problematic. What we have found by having a centralized system within our own health department made the reporting process easier. We were already collecting that data both on paper or in other forms, but now we didn't have to recreate those records. They already existed. There is going to be duplication because we find that most of our state partners or federal partners do not want us to talk with their systems. Sorry, that's the truth. They didn't want us to talk. You know, they were very proprietary over their systems. They said, use us, use what we have. So we found that while there is going to be duplication of entry, having a centralized system at home made it much easier. The duplication does exist, but the time for that duplication is reduced because you have a centralized system where that information is already being collected. So once it's in your system, it's not duplicated. It's just that continuation of entry into others.
So you couldn't interface.
They will not let us. Yes. Yes.
I just think that there needs to be pushback from where local jurisdictions and states are not allowed to be able to export code into whatever is required in the funders. I mean, I just think that's what you all have to push back on. And then that's what makes a difference. Then CDC or other people will hear you. You know, it's a new age, and so everyone needs to enter the new age.
I agree. I was happy to hear this morning about the PRISM system. I'm looking forward to the idea of being able to share information across jurisdictions. This was nothing special. This was just an idea that we had of ways to make our system work more efficiently and more effectively. If we as a group of working with our patient population, because as I said, we sit 30 miles between 2 epicenters of disease. Everything comes into us as much as it comes out of from us. So being able to share that information across jurisdictions is logical, and good heavens, why haven't we done it before? Thank you.